it ain't getting better, they getting worse. Feel the thirst, not just the verse, but hoping truth gets dispersed. Spend thousands of dollars on a purse, only to quickly get outdated and faded, feeling jaded, about to burst. Honesty is cause the years of feeling insignificant. Too legit to quit and always ragging on the president. I'm hesitant, but heaven sent to bring light to the darkness. Sometimes can be discouraged, but focus on the harvest. The hardest part is to guard your heart. Can't trust in our own wisdom, cause it's tainted from the start. We fallen, we fail, missed the mark, hands were nailed. Blinded by sin, the whole world should be reading in braille. But we prevail and yet continue to live in ignorance. Always having the answers, fighting depression with stimulants. When will we as a society reach sobriety? Focusing on IEDs, but don't even know RIDs. Distracted by the bling and the rings, all these things. Selling our souls to accomplish all our dreams. Huh, it seems, huh, that maybe this world can't fulfill my deepest desires, but that's all you know, so still. You're running drugs, running sex, running people and think that they will fill the empty void, yet the pleasure is gone in a blink of your eyes. Don't be surprised, we all going insane. We repeat the cycle daily, and yet nothing ever changes. Sometimes we brain dead, knowing what we should do, yet ignoring it for pages of the latest self-help book. For my self-help looks like I ain't got a clue in the world my self-help shook. But it's all good, I just ignore my problems and assume I'm misunderstood. So you grind, you hustle, get to the top of your class. Make more money than others and do your best to make it last. You a king in your own mind. Death is coming and you wish that you had more time. But death waits for no man, no man. And don't care about your plans, because death is out of your hands. But that ain't the end of the story, cause there's glory to reveal. You're hungry for the truth, so I come to offer a meal. Everyone always looks to teachers, cause we gotta learn. It's your turn to follow the teacher who grades on the curve. Cause the test we all failed, but he took the penalty for all of us with three nails. Males and females, this the story that we tell. Free of charge so you can't find it in no retail. The truth to the matter is this proof on the platter. Death or life, it's time to choose the latter. Life is freely given to those willing to receive. We broke the law of God, so Jesus the Christ came to bleed. See, when you break the law, you gotta pay your fine. But God's law is so important that it will cost your life. See, we deserve to die. We deserve to rot, and it's all our fault cause we know what's calling the shots. No one deserves heaven, even on your best day. But Jesus did it all. We gotta say yes to the sensei. We do things his way, and we see God on our side. When we're filled with God's spirit, depression has to hide. So more than just entertainment, you gotta learn today that you must repent, and that means that you must turn away from your evil ways, from the things that God don't want. And when you feel God's love, you will have no need to flaunt. So the choice is yours, tell me which one will you choose. Jesus has his arms wide open, we call that good news. The family of God is open to you on one condition. Surrender your heart to Jesus, cause it's time to transition.
Good afternoon. Good afternoon to our radio listeners. This is your train conductor, D. Smith with 3T Radio. All right. Thank you for tuning in again to another exciting show. I'm excited, as always, about every show that we do. This is just a wonderful opportunity for the Teen Train Ministry to reach out to youth and families in our community, and to really give a voice to our young people. So I'm really excited about today's show, because today, unlike some of our previous shows, we got an all-youth panel. So we got these young people that's on the show today, and I'm going to bring them in a minute. But before that, I want to make a couple announcements. The first announcement, unfortunately, we had to cancel the Teen Train second annual Black Tie Gala. So, you know, that message is out there, but I just want everybody to know, keep praying for us, because this is a great opportunity to not only raise money for the ministry, but to make people aware of what we're doing for you. So for everybody that's listening, the Black Tie Gala has been officially canceled, but stay tuned, because the train is still moving. But the thing that I want you all to really, really, really focus in on today is this panel discussion that we got going on. And today's segment is louder than a bomb. So what we're going to do is we're going to drop that bomb sound on you all and get you ready for the panel. Okay, so without further ado, we're going to get ready to bring in our panelists. We have Kamora Taylor, we got Chris Morrow, we got Davin Nathaniel, and we have Jasmine Holmes. Are you all in?
Yes, sir. Yes. Yep.
All right. Jasmine, are you there?
Yep.
Okay. Kamora, are you there?
Yep.
Chris, are you there?
Yes, sir.
Davin, are you there?
Yeah.
All right. Thank you all for tuning in today and getting on the train with us today. We're going to talk today about just the pressure of being a young person, dealing with some of the issues that you all are faced with every day. Why don't you all, first of all, start out? I'd like to have Kamora to go first. Kamora, kind of, you know, your bio. You gave a bio to us. Can you talk a little bit about your bio? Tell our listening audience just a little bit about yourself.
Okay. My name is Kamora Taylor. I am 13 years old. I graduated from Livermore Christian Academy located in Delaware, Illinois. I am an incoming freshman at Providence St. Mary High School located on the west side of Chicago, Illinois. I am a born-again Christian who is a part of Teen Train Incorporated on so many levels. I graduated from the Impact Program. I'm currently in my second year of the SCI Program and on my way to the Ambassador's Program.
Okay, come on. That's cool, girl. You're making noise louder than a bomb. We love it. We love it. We love it. Okay, Jasmine, why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself?
I'm Jasmine Holmes, 16, incoming senior at Proviso West High School located in Hillside. I live in Westchester, currently the staff of ROTC, one of the captains on my dance team. I'm in a lot of organizations at the moment. I went from the SARS program to the Impact program, Teen Train, and now I'm starting the Student Ambassador program sponsored by Dwayne Smith. And I'm a born-again Christian and planning on attending to University of Illinois in Champaign-Urbana.
All right, Jasmine, that's what's up, making noise, making noise. All right, Chris Morrow, tell us a little bit about yourself, Chris.
Well, my name is Chris Morrow, as he said. I'm going to be an incoming sophomore at St. Joseph High School, located in Westchester, Illinois. This is currently my third year in the STARS program, and I will attend Ohio State University or Yale University for graphic design and further my education in the art of the graphic design as well.
That's what's up, Chris. I love it. I love it. I love it. Davin Nathaniel, tell us a little bit about yourself.
My name is Davin Nathaniel. I am 16 years old, and I attend Proviso West High School. This will be my junior year in Proviso High School, and I plan on going to college after I finish my last year in high school. And I am a part of the track team, the basketball team, and I am a part of Teen Train. And this will be my fourth year in the STARS program.
Okay, good, good, good. You know, you all are doing some really great things, and I'm hearing, you know, we're going to some pretty decent schools, too. You know, we're attending schools, and we're doing some, we're staying active, and the thing that I'm loving most about every last one of you all is that, you know, you've not put down your faith. You know, you're being bold about who you are, that you're young Christians, and making some differences. You're making an impact, not only in your schools and in your communities. Let's talk a little bit, you all. You shared that you were part of the STARS program. Jasmine, why don't you talk a little bit about that? What is the STARS program for our listening audience?
Okay, STARS stands for Soaring to Achieve Real Success. We abducted a lot of, like, 13 to 18-year-olds. We have a different, like, diversity of students. We have high school students, middle school students, eighth graders going into high school. And what that's all about is helping us further our education, get more of a college-type thing in us. We do resumes, on career cruise and set up resumes. We have a mentoring class, a financial literacy. It's basically helping us further our knowledge and what we're going to do and what we're going to be in life, how we're going to, like, be leaders, and yeah.
Yeah, that's good. That's good. That's good. Chris, can you talk a little bit more about that? Because Jasmine gave that perspective. You know, you and Jasmine and Davin are both seniors, from what I understand. Davin, let me get you to talk before Chris. You're about to be a senior. You're a rising senior where are you going, Davin? What school are you attending?
I'm about to be a junior, and I'm going to Proviso West.
Okay, you're a junior. I thought you was about to be a senior. I'm sorry. How was the STARS program helping you?
When I first joined the STARS program, I didn't really talk much. I was, like, more shy, and I didn't speak up. You know, I'd sit there and let opportunities pass me by. But, like, through these last 4 years in the STARS program, it really helped me come out of my shell and be more talkative and, you know, stand for what's right. And, you know, I feel like I'm more of I can you know, accomplish things now more than I didn't have much self-confidence. That's what I'm trying to get at.
Okay, okay. But, so the program has helped you, Davin, build your confidence and feel, you know, just that boldness about, you know, stepping into opportunities?
Yeah, because when I first joined, you know, we had to do presentations. And I remember I just stand up there and I feel my stomach all getting butterflies and stuff.
Yeah,
you know?
I remember it looked like you about to fall out. We had to encourage you to just kind of stand up there and finish it out, right? Yeah, that's good, Davin. So, Davin, how do you think this experience with STARS is really kind of helping you for college?
It's broadening your decision making and in the colleges that you select, because, you know, most people, they only think of colleges within your parents, what they suggest for you or you suggest for yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, in the STARS program, it helps you bring a variety of colleges to your, to what you might want to go to. You know, we went in the STARS program, we went to Wheaton College, Benedictine College, ITT Tech, and Triton College.
Okay. And so what you've been able to do is you've been able to get more exposure, which has allowed you to really be at a place where you can make a more informed decision about where you may want to go, you know, in-state versus out-of-state schools, right?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, that's good. That's good. That's good. Now, Chris, I know you're a student-athlete, and you're part of the STARS program. Why don't you talk a little bit about how the STARS program is helping you out, Chris?
As you said, me being an athlete really makes it hard to, like, balance things out because you have to go to practice and then you have to do work. So me being in the STARS program allowed me to prioritize and have a plan that will allow me to get things done more effectively. Also, it helps me grow more in my team building skills because, one, being a quarterback, you have to be the leader of the team. So it helped me along with that. And as Devin said, going out to like the different field trips that we went to, like the schools and the businesses, really gave me a nice exposure to things that I will see in my later life. So
Okay. They
helped me in that way.
Yeah, that's good. That's real good. Kimora, now you are a freshman, right?
Yes.
Okay, what school?
Providence St. Mary.
Now, why don't you share with our listening audience how the STARS program has helped prepare you for high school?
In high school, I know that I will have to talk to a lot of people, and I won't be around the same people that I'm used to. So the STARS program brought me out of my comfort zone.
Okay.
Like, I used to be shy, but now that this is my second year, I know a lot of people in the program and I talk to them. But not only did it bring me out of my comfort, it taught me how to be more focused and responsible.
That's good. That is so good, Kimora. Kimora, I know you shared that piece. What about in terms of the academic preparation? Has it helped you make that transition? Has it made that transition a little bit easier from the eighth grade going into the ninth grade?
Yeah, especially the math. We're learning
okay.
College math, and that's a huge help to me because in
okay.
they have that strong education, and you have to know a lot, and so it's helped.
So it's been able to kind of keep you sharp in that area and just
mm-hmm.
that mental toughness as you're about to make that transition, right?
Yep.
That's good. That's good. That's good. You all are leaders, and I know that the STARS program is a component of the Teen Train organization for our listening audience. This is our summer program now. Each one of the students, in their introduction, they talked about impact. They talked about the student ambassador program. I would like to have actually one of you. How about Davin? Why don't you talk a little bit about impact and kind of what was that experience like for you?
Well, in impact, it was also an opportunity for you to get out of your comfort zone because, you know, we went on different trips and experiences, you can call them, and, you know, we did one at McDonald's. It was something with McDonald's for Thanksgiving.
Yeah, with the parade.
Yes, the parade for Thanksgiving. You know, we went there and helped out, and we had a Feed the Homeless thing.
Yep.
Most people, you know, they find that very awkward and, you know, they are afraid or whatever you want to call it. They feel like it makes them feel very uncomfortable. So, you know, that helps bring you out of your comfort zone and impact that helped us become more leaders and, you know, help better ourselves and set ourselves apart from the average teenager.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. And there was another thing that we did. I know you was talking about that community piece. What was one community project that we did that you all thought was pretty, pretty interesting with the bookstore? Anybody want to talk about that?
We did the Barnes & Nobles. We went to Barnes & Nobles. We helped, like, gift wrap for Father's Day and for Christmas.
Mm-hmm. How was that experience, Jasmine? Talk a little bit about that experience and what did it do for you as a person?
Well, it gave me, like, more speaking skills because I don't usually speak to people a lot. I used to, like, be in the corner a lot, but now it gave me, like, more speaking skills because you have to, like, tell them or encourage them to, like, wrap their gifts up and all that. So, yeah, it gave me more of a leadership-type skill.
Mm-hmm. And not only that, you know, I mean, you know, working with a diverse group of people because the Barnes & Nobles that we served at was located at the Oakbrook Shopping Center, so you had a diverse group of shoppers that would come in, males, females, young and old, that would come by, and it just created opportunities. For our listening audience, the IMPACT program stands for Influencing Millions of Youth Through Practical Application for Character Transformation. And so it's one of those transformational programs where we really dealt with the self-esteem of our students, and we talked about leadership, and we dealt with the leadership principles. And not only did we talk about it and teach on it, but we will put them in situations where they can actually exercise that leadership that's within them and bring it out. And so, you know, one of the things that we taught our students was that a leader is one that really – kind of leads from behind, meaning they learn what's required and they really build others up to assume leadership roles, and they teach them how to lead through their example. And so that's one of the things that we're doing with our young people is we're encouraging them to step up and step out and to be a leader and let their voices be heard through our teen train programs. And the four students that are on the panel today that are part of our radio show today, they're going to all be coming into the Ambassador Program, which is a student advisory board to myself. And what we do is we're going to be talking about a lot of cool things and doing a lot of training in that program as well. What I like to do now is I like to hear from Chris. Chris, can you talk to our listeners about some of the pressure that you find yourself having to deal with as a student athlete and being a Christian? Can you talk a little bit about that in high school?
Yeah, because the high school I go to is a Catholic school, so it really tests you because the Catholics kind of believe different as Christians do. So, I mean, you kind of want to correct them, but when you correct them, you have to know what to back it up with. So you might find a trouble with that if you're not really rooted in it. Also, being a student athlete, especially if you're good like me, you get a lot of attention, and so how you balance out that attention is really key. I mean, the easy way, you could just go into it, but the hard way, which is the best way, is just to ignore it and keep moving forward. I mean, really, the choice will be yours, but... It's the best thing to do.
Okay. Can any one of you all talk about some of the violence that may be, you know, kind of manifesting in your schools and what are you doing as a young Christian leader to maybe do something about that, or kind of stay away from it? What are some of the things that you may be doing? Can somebody kind of speak to that?
In my school, really not that much violence, but I mean, there are sports of it every now and then.
Right.
But I shy away from it. I really don't go into it. I mean, I'll watch a fight, but I mean, I'm not into it.
Right. Now, when people try to pull you or provoke you into those type of situations, Chris, what are you doing about it? How are you not adding to the problem, but trying to be a part of the solution?
Well, my dad always told me to at least give the person three chances. Like, the first chance, you'd be like, dude, like quit messing with me. And if they keep doing it, like, bro, stop messing with me. And then if they keep doing it, be like, bro, put your hands on me one more time. And then, because at a point of that, it's like, it's self-defense.
Right.
Because you can't just keep letting that person hit all up on you like that.
Yeah, that's true. But what are some that's typically what people tend to do, Chris. But what about what are some other positive ways to deal with this type of pressure? Because it's real, you all. And even in the STARS program, we're talking about anger management. So how about this? Jasmine or Kimora, can you speak to that about, you know, maybe something, a strategy that you learned this summer in the program that you know that you can really apply that to your life in school?
I can. In the STARS, we're focusing on our anger management workbook, and it teaches us how to respond to conflict. And one thing that you can do is count to 100. You can walk away. Or for me, this personal, you can tell the dean, and then if they don't do anything about it, you take it to your own hands. That's how I feel.
Okay. Well, just so you all know, we actually have a caller that's calling in right now, Shamika Jones. And Shamika, we want to welcome you to the train ride. Can you just announce to the audience who you are and a little bit about your profession?
Sure. Good afternoon, everybody. I'm a Chicago Public School teacher, and I've been recently laid off. I was one of those who were laid off, but I just believe that I'll be in a school next year. I do love children. I love educating children, and being a positive example, not only in developing minds, but also showing my students that, you know, African Americans can be successful and do things the right way.
Okay. Shamika, you was listening to the conversation. We got Davin Nathaniel on the phone. We got Chris Morrow. We have Jasmine Holmes. And then we got Kimora Taylor, three strong, positive youth. But they're living in the real world where there's a lot of pressure. There's a lot of things that's going on. And we were kind of talking a little bit about the programs that they're involved in and how to deal with some of the things that they're dealing with. Can you possibly share something with maybe our young people in terms of maybe some strategies to possibly deal with maybe the peer pressure of drugs and violence that's happening in schools?
Well, you know, I sure can. I see it daily just as a teacher, and the one thing that I would give you is to just become involved, be involved in school. And extracurricular activities is a good way to start. And also surround yourself around people who are doing things positively. And sometimes kids don't want to step out because they don't want to look different. And I'm sure that that's not the story for the students, the youth that are on the phone today. But I would just say not to be afraid of what you might look like to other people. Mm-hmm. And if you're not sure who to go to, you know, talk to one of your teachers. And your teachers can lead you in a direction and guide you toward people, other organizations, who can foster a lot of positive skills and things of that nature for you. So.
Yeah, that's good. That's real good. You know what? One of the other things that I love is that we got two males and two females in terms of we got Kimora and we got Jasmine, we got Chris, and we got Davin. I like to ask Jasmine. Jasmine, do you think peer pressure for girls is different than it is for boys? And let's be more specific. Let's talk about, you know, maybe, you know, just the pressure of just kind of getting caught up in bad things, you know, cutting class, dating. Do you think that pressure affects girls differently than it does boys, Jasmine?
Yeah, I think it does, sort of, because I know a lot of boys go through a lot of peer pressure, but I think girls do go through more because we go through, like, like you said, peer pressure stuff to do stuff. I know it's a lot of girls in my school that's like smoking already and going out there and doing what they're not supposed to be doing. It's a lot of peer pressure on girls, more than boys to me, I think, because boys is like already out there. We're not.
Okay. What's an example? What do you think is one of the biggest pressures that the young ladies that you see yourself, now you may not necessarily be dealing with it, but that you see that's affecting the girls the most at your school?
I think it's getting off focus with the boys. It's a lot of girls around the school I go to that's getting pregnant now.
Okay, like so sex. So sex thing. Is one of the issues then, right?
Yes.
Yeah, okay. All right. Kimora, do you agree with that, or do you think it's a different pressure? Maybe we lost Kimora. So how about this? Let's shift the conversation over to Davin and Chris. What do you all think? Davin, Chris, do you think the peer pressure affects boys different than girls?
My opinion, it's kind of hard to say, but like what Jasmine was saying, like a lot of girls in our school are getting pregnant, and one of my friends I know, she recently she's pregnant, and you know, it seems like in a sense, like the girls do have it a little bit harder than we do, because I don't know, it's like some girls in my school, they try to keep it low, like on the down low, like they try to hide it, but they are being peer pressured, even though in the sense they're trying to keep it hidden. And then all of a sudden, it just come out of the blue, like, oh, wow, she's pregnant. What happened to her? And then, you know, people, you know, look at people different once they get pregnant. You know, like, you know, she and did all the boys in the school because she's pregnant, you know.
Okay. All right. So do you think the boys, so you said the girls, they try to keep it down, but the boys, you say they're a little kind of, you know, how are they dealing with that then, Davin or Chris? You think the boys are doing what, Davin?
You can go first, Chris.
I kind of think that in a way they really don't even try to hide it at all. Like, because you see just that person in the crowd that is just doing what everybody else is doing just to be cool, per se. And,
okay.
I mean, so I'm not seeing that they're hiding it, but, I mean, it's very visible. But as Davin said, girls, they're not so obvious with it,
okay.
But they still do it.
Okay. Well, you know, I'm excited because we got a parent that's calling in, too, that's getting in on the conversation. We have Martinique Dickey. Martinique, how you doing? Welcome to the train.
Hi. Good afternoon.
Hey, everybody say hello, Martinique.
Hi.
I'm Martinique.
Hey, Martinique, I know you've been listening to what's been said and what we're kind of talking about. Do you have any insight as a parent about, you know, and not only are you a parent, but you're a Christian mom, and you know, and you raising Kimora, as a matter of fact, you know, I mean, she's a powerful young lady. Do you have any insight that you would like to even share to maybe some of the parents about some of the pressure that the students, the kids may be dealing with, and even how the parents can maybe even detect it or help their kids get through it?
Well, that is the nature of my call, is because I want to address the parents so much as towards the young adults that we're raising. I believe that it's imperative to have a relationship with your young adult, whereas your young adult is comfortable coming to you to seek your wisdom and your knowledge, and you do so by not overreacting, because as it states, nothing is new under the sun. We all have been in their seats that they're sitting in year to day, you know?
Yeah.
So it's like, you know what they're going through. So to be like, you know, shocked and appalled, it shouldn't even come about. You should be able to sit there and receive what they're saying and not yell at them or not, you know, judge them, but speak with them and speak life and give them knowledge, give them insight. Because I recall being in high school, the blind leading the blind.
Yeah.
Because if they can't come to you, they're going to go to their friends, and they don't know nothing about life because they're still in their way through life, too.
That's
so
true.
Now, you know, it's getting out of hand.
Yeah.
Whereas if you had that rapport with your young adult, you could kind of get a handle on things.
Man, that is so powerful, Martinique, what you were saying.
Is able to make better decisions.
Yep,
better choices. You know, you in tune.
Yes. That's good what you're saying, and I'm so glad that you shared that. And, you know, by us having a teacher on the phone too, you know, Miss Jones. Now, how do you bridge that gap with the parents? Because sometimes as a teacher, you may see a student that's starting to dumb down their learning because of peer pressure. You know, are they trying to be in the in crowd, and then the parent is coming up to you as a teacher saying, you know, I'm seeing a difference in my child. You know, because the parents, like Martinique was saying, you know, we want to keep the lines of communication open because you know your child. After all, it is your child. But same time, the irony of the situation is we find parents have the most difficult time connected to their children for those very reasons that Martinique mentioned. They're shutting them down. They're judging them. You know, whatever they're doing. And so as a teacher, what is something that you think the parents, you know, how can the teacher help the parent?
Well, first of all, I would just say that constant communication is really important. That's key. To always communicate things that you are seeing and any changes that you're seeing in your child, because sometimes a child can, you know, act one way with a parent and obviously act a different way with the teacher.
Mm-hmm.
So it's important to communicate those changes. And then in doing so, we can share strategies, you know. That's what I love to do with some of my parents, because a lot of my parents are not as, they don't know how to support their child academically, and so that's where I come in to help them with that. But then also the social piece, they don't know how to do that either.
Mm-hmm.
And so I just kind of discuss some things with them that I see, some really personal things that might not be coming out in the home, and so they're unaware of how to address that. So I would just say the communication piece is so important, and sharing strategies in terms of how we can rally around the child to help them in both environments, the school environment and at home.
Yeah, that's powerful. And, you know, that old saying, it takes a village to raise a child. Even though we got four powerful young students that are on the phone today, and I'm excited about them and what they're doing and the choices that they're making, we still have to remember as adults they're still children. Would you all agree?
Yes.
Yep, they're still children, and they're still growing, and, you know, and not like Jared Turner said, all these children, but you all are your young adults growing up. And so we want to make sure that we don't forget that even though they may be making some good choices, they may be involved in some positive organizations, that, you know, these factors are still out there. And so I like what Martinique was saying. You know, we got to talk to them. We have to talk to them. We want them to feel good about talking to us. How about this? Is Kimora still on the phone?
Yes, I am.
Kamora, hey. Is Martinique still on the phone?
Yeah, I'm still here.
Okay, Kamora, you know, we got your mom on the phone, and she's doing some awesome things, and you are involved in the Teen Train programs. Kamora, do you find it difficult as a student leader or maybe a young person who may not be getting caught up in a lot of mischief to come and talk to mom or to a parent or to an adult about maybe some pressure that you may be dealing with?
No.
You don't?
I mean, because they've been through it too. So.
Okay. So what would you say to the young listening audience about what age are you, Kamora?
I'm 13.
Okay, so 13, 14. What would you say to those kids who are listening right now?
To not keep things bottled inside. You have to express your feelings and express what you're going through so that you don't just tick off like a bomb.
Okay. Okay. Now, that's good. I think that's important. You know, don't keep it bottled in, because if you do keep it bottled in, what are some bad things that can happen, Jasmine? What do you think are some bad things that can happen to a student? How old are you, Jasmine?
I'm 16.
So Jasmine's 16. So to our listening audience, you see we got different ages, which are different developmental stages, different levels of pressure that they're dealing with. Jasmine, you're a rising senior, right?
Mm-hmm.
So you got a whole nother realm of pressure that you're going to be dealing with your last year. What are some bad things that you think could happen to 16, 17-year-old females who do not take the advice that Kamora just gave? What are some of the bad choices you think they can end up making, or you've even seen people make?
I know a lot of people that hold stuff. I know, like, this girl, she had been, like, that she was being, like, I know. A lot of their families are not good at the moment. I know a girl that held in saying that her stepdad actually raped her, and she didn't get that out, and she was constantly mad at everybody that she knew. She wouldn't talk to anybody. She wouldn't even tell her mom what happened. So I had to step up, and I had to get her and her mom together. We all talked about it, and she ended up talking to her stepdad about that, and that whole situation was took care of. By her holding that in, that hurted her, that hurted everybody else around her, and everybody was just wondering what was wrong with her. And that's like a common problem in school now, that people they don't have anybody to talk to. They don't want to talk to their moms and dads about it because they don't have a good relationship with them, so they have to find somebody to talk to. And some of them don't have trustworthy friends that they know that won't say anything, so I'm happy she came to me with that.
Yeah, that's good, and I'm glad that you were being a friend to her. Martinique, as a parent, you know, if something like that, let's say, you know, you notice that your child is quiet, you know, and she's not talking, because this is a very common thing that parents deal with. You know, I've even had my 13-year-old tell me, I don't want to talk about it now, Dad. And I'm like, oh, man, you kidding me? You don't want to talk about it, dude. You in my house, bro. How you going to tell me you don't want to talk about it? You know what I mean? That's when I want to get the belt out. You know what I'm saying? It'd be like the Bible. Bear the rod for the child. You know, I'm ready to go ahead and tend into him. But Martinique, as a parent, if we see that, what are some strategies or maybe some ways that you think a parent should maybe try to infiltrate that or break that shell? What do you think?
Well, I mean, Kamora does that to me all the time.
Kamora not even listening to her own advice, huh?
Kamora, she'll shut down. But see, I'm not going to let up. That's the difference, you know.
Yeah.
I'm not going to, you know, stop driving on you until you give me what I want.
Right.
So, you know, if you want me to stop bothering you, you know, let's talk. But I don't, you know, I don't come down hard on her. I, you know,
right.
In a playful, you know, joking matter, I
right.
still bother her about her, or, you know, tell her I'm going to sit on her or something.
Right.
Something
right.
weird. Like an icebreaker.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, man, I'm gonna,
that's not funny.
I'm going to bite your face. I'm going to lick your face. Something stupid.
Right.
You know,
right.
Let her know, hey.
Oh, my God.
It's okay. Talk to me,
right.
man.
Amen.
You know?
Man.
And that's
Look.
What I told her, because
Amen.
Being that Kamora and myself, we're all we have. And
right.
I stress that, you know, every day. You know, so we have to look out for each other. We have to have to see about each other and make sure the other is fine, you
right.
know, because at the end of the day, if something is wrong on my end or her end, where will we be?
Yeah,
you know,
that's good. I like what you were saying, though, because, I mean, there was some humor in there, and I can't wait to see Kamora's face on Monday. She probably yeah, Kamora, we know now what happens. But anyway, you know, not letting up. So parents, I think that's key, you know. And Martinique said something that was really key in addition to that is, you know, not letting up, but breaking the ice. Sometimes, you know, that thing could be real intense for a kid. And, you know, they don't want to talk. They start to shut down because they start thinking that old song, parents just don't understand, when the truth of the matter is, like Martinique said, ain't nothing new under the sun. So not only do we understand, we've been there. And so I like that whole piece of not letting up, but at the same time, you know, breaking the ice, let's inject some humor in this thing because I love you as us. If we don't talk, we in trouble. You know, it's almost like what Pastor say, you know, both y'all in the boat, and as a whole, who's in trouble, okay? It's not you, it's not me, it's us, right?
Yeah.
So you know what, Chris, I'd like for you to kind of speak a little bit about, how old are you, Chris?
15.
Okay, so Chris is 15, so we got a 13-year-old, 15, 16-year-old. Davin, how old are you?
16.
So 16, so two 16-year-olds. So Davin, Chris, I want both of y'all to kind of tag team on this because you're males. What are some things, some pressure that you know some of the guys may be dealing with, and what would be something that you would suggest to them in terms of how to deal with it or who should they talk to? Chris, why don't we deal with you first?
All right, I'll go first. As we heard yesterday in the college panel discussion, females.
Okay.
Because, I mean, people who look good, like me, they
you know, Chris, don't even be humble about it, Chris. Just go ahead and say it. People that look good, like me. You know? Just put it on out there, Chris, you know?
No, I'm serious. But, when, like, people in general, when you go through stuff like that, I mean, you have, there's set times for stuff like that. I mean, it's not always, oh, she like me, so I gotta like her back. No, it's, you take time with it. Because there's really no rest at all. You have the rest of your life for it. So basically, it's just be patient, because that could be a really, really big distraction, because that will get you all the way off track.
Okay. So what would you suggest? What would you say to the 16-year-old brothers who are student athletes who may find themselves being overwhelmed, you know, with the females coming at them? What would you say to them?
Just try to stay focused. I mean, that time that you spend in talking to your girl, you could be spending studying or helping somebody else or practicing or something. I mean, you could fill that time that you would spend doing that one thing with something productive,
okay.
which makes it
okay.
a whole lot easier on yourself.
Okay. Davin, why don't you share? What's another pressure that you think that the young men are dealing with? And again, you all are a part of this discussion because you're leaders and you're doing some really good things. You're making good choices. So what you got to say, it has value because, you know, neither one of you all are falling into those statistics. And so I'm proud of you all. Let me say that first. And I'm sure Ms. Jones could say the same thing and Ms. Dickey could say the same thing too. You know, you all are doing some really great things. So I want to applaud you all. But, Davin, why don't you share maybe another pressure that you think, you know, the young men in your age group outside of the females that they may be dealing with?
Like Chris said, he said females. So let me put it like this. Females, the boys in my school, it's mostly the freshmen. They come in, you know, you're a freshman, you come in, you happy, you excited because, you know, it's high school. You got a little bit more freedom because, you know, you can ditch class if you want to. And you don't have to worry about somebody stopping you in the hallway. No, that's you. So, you know, so mostly, like, the freshman boys in our school, they try to act like somebody they're not.
Okay.
You know, they try to impress the girls.
Okay.
They try to act different in front. And then, you know, when it come down to it, and then they have to end up you know, they get in a situation and they gotta fight somebody, they end up losing.
Right.
So it just shows you can't try to be somebody you're not. You gotta be yourself, and
yeah.
If you be yourself, great, and the females gonna come to you automatically.
Yeah, that's so good, David. I like that. So you said be yourself. You're not trying to be something that you're not. You're right, Davin, and I see that in Ms. Jones. I'd like for you to speak to that, too, as an educator. I'm sure you've seen students with their personalities, they begin to shift. It came in, like, the first week, there was one way, and then by the end of week number two, it's a whole different person. You know, what do you say to a student that you see that's not being themselves?
Well, being an educator, I also consider myself a parent as well, so I have multiple roles. But I always, speak to the whole person, and I have real conversations. And I know this is not the typical thing that you might see in a classroom, because a lot of teachers miss this piece. But we have to address that social, emotional piece every day.
Yeah.
And in my classroom, I've established an atmosphere where I allow a platform for us to have that discussion. And this is rare. Like, teachers, every teacher doesn't do this, but I do it. And there's always a platform to do that. Even on my agenda, I leave time for announcements. But for announcements, my students know, and I've communicated it to them, that I want to know what you did over the weekend. I want to know how you're feeling today. I want to know what happened yesterday. I want to know if you have any problems with your teachers or your peers, and we're going to talk about it during this time. And so for me, it helps me to also be strategic in knowing how to address my students throughout that particular lesson and that period that I have them. And I wish it was something that, you know, could be adopted school-wide across every school, but it's not. It doesn't always look the same, but this is the way that I do it. And that's helped me to be effective. And I believe it's also helped me build strong relationships with my students, because my students know that I care about them. And in return, they care about me. But that's also showing them how to care.
Wow.
Because a lot of my students don't know how caring looks. They don't know how it feels. They don't know what love feels like, and they don't know what it looks like. But I've created an environment where I've fostered that, and that has helped me. It's helped my students excel in more than just the academic, but that social-emotional piece.
Wow.
So that's pretty much my experience, and I consider that to be my ministry, really.
That's powerful. That is so powerful. It's interesting you were saying that. It made me think about the guest that we had on the show last week, Mr. Eric Hendricks, and he talked about not embarrassing the kids and building that confidence in the classroom. And, you know, and that lends way to rapport and maintaining a good relationship so that we can maximize on the learning experience. So I like that. Martinique, why don't you kind of speak to that a little bit as a parent when you know, Ms. Jones, being an educator, kind of shared that environment situation out. And what do you think about that as a parent? Do you think that's needed more in the classrooms? Have you been in a situation where you've seen both sides, where a teacher may not have been that way versus a teacher that was that way?
I'm aboard with what she's implementing in her classroom because, you know, as she stated, some children do not experience love at home. They don't have that nurture that, you know, that we may give our kids. You know, so they need to get it from somewhere. And being that education is a part of the community, I would definitely encourage that, because my daughter's entire educational journey has involved someone who did not have that, and so they took it out on her. So, you know, I had to, you know, step in and you know, regulate. But the point of the matter is, it's imperative that when these children, you see that they're lacking it, give it to them. because we're responsible for, each one of us are responsible for each other, so to speak.
Yeah.
And if someone is, if someone is lacking something and you have that resource to what's inside of you, share it, because that's going to help you be successful. You become successful by helping others be successful.
Yeah.
And the more you do that, the more successful you'll become.
Wow.
So I commemorate you on what you're doing in your classes.
Yeah, that is so good.
I wish that you would, you know, continue on with it, possibly patent that and go full throttle with it across the
CPS,
across all these schools, even private sector.
Yep.
Because
that's,
you got one.
Yeah, that's good. That's good, Martinique. And I agree with that also, Ms. Jones. I think that's a powerful ministry. To our students that are on the radio, can you all even share, what do you think? Have you had a teacher that's kind of like Ms. Jones, and what was the benefit of that? Has anybody had that experience? And maybe even not in the classroom, but maybe through a program, you know, maybe that person being a mentor. Have you had that type of situation in your life? And what was the benefit of that? Why don't we start with Kimora?
Of course, with the STARS program, I have that every day. But as far as school, my former school, we didn't really have that. Teachers really didn't care.
Right.
Like Ms. Jones does, so.
Right. And do you think, as a result of that, do you feel that maybe either yourself or you notice some other students struggling because of that lack of connection?
Yeah. In my former school, the students would come in and they would be sad. But if the students try to help the other students that's sad, the teacher would tell you to leave them alone.
Wow. Yeah. Yes, that's important. And I think, you know, as educators and leaders, we have to be sensitive. You know what I mean? And I'm glad Ms. Jones mentioned that social-emotional thing, because I'm a counselor, and that's my role in the school, too, to really kind of bridge that gap, too, and to kind of help the teachers to be sensitive around those things, because you want to always do those temperature checks, because, you know, it may not always be they don't understand the material. If I don't feel good, I'm not going to do well. I think we all know that. I mean, and Chris, you know, you've been a student athlete. If you're not feeling good, you're not going to perform well. But I heard from Kimora. Let's hear from Chris. Chris, have you had that experience, that much like what Ms. Jones talked about, being a teacher or a mentor that extended that love towards you, and what was the benefit of that?
Yeah. Well, of course, it will be you, because I've known you since I was born.
And now you're taller than me, man.
Yeah. Yeah, but you being there for me, it just allows another outlet. Because you always want to have somebody you can talk to outside of the family, just to get another perspective on it.
Yeah.
So it really allowed me to just have somebody to talk to. I mean, because you might not always feel like talking to your family, but you always have somebody there to express your feelings with, and somebody who actually knows you. Because that's the point of picking a good mentor. Having somebody who's been where you've been and knows what you want to know, so you being there, it helped me a whole lot with that portion.
Amen. That's what's up, Chris. Yeah, I'll have to pay you later for that, Doc. Thank you. All right, Jasmine. Well, same question to you. What have you? What has been your experience? Have you had this in your life, and what has been a benefit of it?
Yeah, actually, my first 2 years of high school in math, my teachers always it was always math. I always had problems with my math teachers. They didn't help. Some of them just leave the classroom sometimes, and we didn't even know. And she'll come in like 20 minutes later, teach on a lesson, then try to give us a test about it that we then stuff that we don't know. And I remember calling you, Mrs. Smith. We talk a lot. We talk like every day, probably.
Yeah.
And I know you helped me with everything. I tell you about all the situations and everything that I have. So it's really good to have a mentor on the side and, like, to talk to you. Like Chris said, other than parents, because you know how that goes. But, yeah.
That's true. That's true. And you know, I think the message for the young ladies is that, you know, your mentor doesn't always have to be a female. A mentor is somebody who genuinely cares about you, has some awareness and knowledge of who you are and where you come from, and is a good resource or tool to help you get where you're going. So I really want to dispel that whole myth out there about, you know, the girl's got to be with a female and the guy's got to be with a male, because Ms. Jones could be a mentor to Davin and Chris, as well as Martinique, you know what I mean? And I could be one to Kimora and to Jasmine. It does not matter. As long as there's somebody who is of substance, they got some integrity, they're going to do right by you, and you know that they're going to do right by you. I think that's how you do it. So, Jasmine, that's awesome, and I think that's great, you know, and I'm hearing that, and I want to hear from Davin now. Davin, what about you? What has been your experience?
Actually, it was one of my teachers, and it was a female teacher. It was my sophomore year. It was my English teacher, Miss Gillespie. She was a really, really good mentor to me. You know, she was really nice. You know, and at the same time, she was a teacher, and, you know, being a teacher, you know, most teachers, well, I'm not going to say most teachers, but some teachers don't really care about the student, and, you know, it's if you get it or you don't, and I'm not going to help you. But she was a really good teacher to me and a mentor to me. She helped me with essays better, helped me with my homework. And at the same time, she kept me in line. You know, she would say a few things to me I don't think I should say on the TV show, but, you know. But she was a Christian, you know. But, you know, at the same time, she had to make sure I stayed in line and help me, you know, stay focused, make sure I didn't get caught up with anything. You know, right. She looked out for me like that.
Right. Yeah, that's good. That's real good, Davin. That's real good. And what I'd like to do right now is I would like to have Ms. Jones, if you could give some final nuggets that you would want to share with the listening audience, be it parents or even other educators or other youth, you know, from an educator standpoint or perspective about staying in the right lane, you know, as a young person. You know, we got these four dynamic young people that are on the radio show today, and obviously they are all doing well. Every last one of them continues to strive to do even better. So, again, we applaud you. But, Ms. Jones, as an educator, what would be something that you would share with the listeners, a couple nuggets, to either get where these four students are, you know, or to go to another level?
So, I think something I would leave with the listeners would be, well, let me just speak to the parents. If you find yourself, parents, in a situation where you don't feel adequate to help your child, don't be afraid to seek the help from a teacher.
Okay.
Because that's what we're designed for, and I find that that's the misstep a lot of parents are taking, especially with the parents that I interact with. I think it's important for parents to know that they have advocates too in the educational system, and that's the teachers in the school. So I would leave the parents with that. For the students, I would just say to take your time. I would also say seek help. And I would say ask questions.
Ooh, yeah, that's good.
And do not be lifted. Yeah, don't be lifted up in pride where you are paralyzed to that. Because asking questions could be life or death for you.
Yeah.
So I'll leave it with that.
Yeah, that's powerful because, you know what, being in the schools myself, I see a lot of students, they fall by the wayside because they don't ask questions. Or they're not asking the right questions. And that is so good, Ms. Jones. And I think for our listening audience, you know, you grab hold of those nuggets. Martinique, as a parent, I'd like for you to talk to the parents right now and even to the kids and give them a couple nuggets that you think could be beneficial for breakthrough in terms of the communication with the child or maybe even getting through a rough spot. Because, Martinique, your whole dynamic is interesting yet so common. You know, being a single mom – you know, like you said on the show, is me and her. We can't let this thing keep us divided because it's me and her. And I make sure she knows that. I like that. You know, you up in the face, you know, if you kiss her jaw or lick her face or whatever, you know, whatever works to help you and Kimora to break that thing through. What would be something you would share out with the parent and the child, you know, to keep the line of communication open with their parent and to strive to be better?
I would state to the parents to put away their judgmental, the judgmentalness, and also to be approachable.
Yeah, that's good.
You know, yes, you know, we know your role. You are father, you are mother. But sometimes they need somebody to just listen, to be a friend. Not so much as a friend, but, you know, to be there, you
yeah.
know, to just listen. And just to also, when encountering with your young adult, keep in mind you were on the opposite side.
Yeah.
And to me, I believe that being a parent is a selfless role.
Yeah.
You have to be selfish. You have to remove self. Like every day dealing with your young adult and oblige them with what they need. And so that would be my word of advice to the parents that's out there listening, you know?
Yeah, that's
right. You're putting this product out here. Your child, your young adult is your product.
That's right. That's right. That's right. I love it.
Keep that in mind.
Yep.
You know?
Say that girl or that boy represent you.
Exactly. That's your representative.
That's right. That's why it made me think about Pastor when he talked about being a little kid and he just getting ready to go outside to play or go to the candy store or whatever, and he'll put on some holy underwear. And then his mama said, hey, boy, you better change those underwear. And then he gets, you know, kind of coming back like, why, mama, why? Because somebody may hit you. You may get into an accident or something out there, and they got to take you to the doctor, and they pull that underwear and see them holes and say, that's Miss Winston's son. You know what I mean? So
exactly.
You're right. You're representing the household. One of the things I got to tell my kids, comb your hair, boy. You know what I mean? You know, get on out there. Don't be out there looking like that, boy. Yeah,
absolutely.
You're right.
And that's for the young adults. My advice to them would be what was given to me when I went to the open house at John Marshall, is that you will want to build a rapport with your professor, with your instructor, because this semester, summer school for me, because I'm in school, not going to stop. It's been an experience, whereas I had to call upon my professor and be like, look, this is what's going on with me. I need favor.
Yeah.
I need for you to take these assignments. You know, I had this happen to me. You know.
Now, you're in law school, right, Marcony? You're in law school, right?
I started law school January 2014. I will be finished with undergrad December 13th, 2013.
Wow, now that's a whole other dynamic. So not only are you, you know, your mother, you know, your daughter is on her way into high school, you're also a student as well and working professional. So, you know, that right there is so encouraging, because that's to the parents out there, you can do it. You can do it. Nothing, no excuses. You can get this thing done, and we can have our young people setting a standard and not dumbing down. We can keep our young people out front as leaders and not be ashamed of being Christians and making right choices, you know?
Because that's how I got thus far, is because he got me this far. I couldn't have made it through undergrad, even though it took time. Along this journey, I got carried by Christ to get to this point. So that's your best bet, to have a rapport. We're going to start it off with this. You have a rapport with Christ, and to build a rapport with your parents,
build
a rapport with your instructors, your professors, and you'll be all right. You'll be all right.
Yes, I love it. Now to our youth that are, you know, on the show today, we got four of you all Kimora, what would be a piece of advice you would offer to your peers? Because you know they're listening to you. I know you told them you were going to be on the train today, so they're listening. What will be something you would share with them, Kimora?
To surround yourself with positive people.
Okay.
Because when you fall, and I know some teens don't feel comfortable talking to their parents, so when you fall, make sure the people around you, the people that you're going to go to, that you know you're going to go to, are positive, and they won't bring you towards something negative.
Yeah, I love that. Surround yourself with positive people. Now, how many young people, Ms. Jones, Martinique, you know, include myself, we know doing that. I mean, they're not doing that. It's almost like they're gravitating toward negative stuff. They're going toward that nasty, inappropriate music. You know, you look up and you see folks with their clothes hanging up off them, and you know you didn't raise them that way. You know what I mean? They're not combing their hair. It's like, what's that about? You know what I mean? And then you look at the people they're hanging with. You know, your child is doing better than them, yet they're hanging around them. So I like what Kimora said. Be around positive people because that law of attraction is real. Either you're drawing them or they're drawing you. So I like that, Kimora. That's real good. Jasmine, what would be a piece of advice you would give to the youth, the young ladies,
or even the young men? Don't hold anything in. Tell people what's going on. Because if you hold it in, it's going to hurt you. And, like, know who you are and know what to do and when to do it. And think about the decisions you made before you go do it. And don't stress yourself out about anything that you need help with. Just ask. There's always somebody there or a mentor that will help you. It's nobody. A lot of young people think there's nobody, like, there for them. And they feel like they can't go to their parents about stuff. So just know that you have somebody that you just got to look for and ask around.
That's good. So just, you know, don't think you got to do it by yourself. I like that, Jasmine. And too many people think they do. I hear young folks say that all the time. Man, this is me against the world. Are you kidding me? You got your mom and your daddy and your sister and your brother. You talking it's you against the world. Get out of here. Maybe you want to take my belt off. Well, I'm going to be against the world. Man, go sit down somewhere. Yeah. Well, you ain't Tupac. He dead. You know what I'm saying? Well, he might be alive. But, so what about, let's hear from Chris, you know, the guy that, you know, Chris not ashamed, let folks know he look good. Go ahead, Chris, tell him, what would you say to him about, you know that you look good?
I would just tell him to have an outlet for your anger, for whatever you're feeling at that moment. Just have an outlet, whether it be a mentor, as we talked about, or you're just sitting by yourself alone, just reflecting on something. Just find a good outlet that works for you in order for you not to just, like Jasmine said, hold everything in and then all of a sudden you explode. So just find a good outlet.
I like that, Chris, because and Martinique and Ms. Jones could speak to this again because we're saying it, and then you all see it with your peers. But a lot of young kids today, drugs are still an issue. You know what I mean? So when Chris say get a good outlet, I'm so glad he said that. And let me add this to it: not only a good outlet, but a positive life sustaining outlet. Because a good outlet for some kids may be, let me go puff on that weed, right? Let me go and get with this little boy over here, and he could tell me some stuff in my ear, and then I'm gonna smile, and 9 months later we're gonna have a child. So we have to make sure that that we understand that part, you know, that positive outlet. So, Chris, I'm glad you said that because, again, you know, these are four young people that are making good choices. And so I think what they're saying has value and weight. So, Chris, I like that, a positive life-sustaining outlet. Davin, what will be something you will say?
Honestly, I would say, like, mostly the incoming freshmen in schools, especially public schools, you know, be yourself and don't try to impress somebody and, you know, don't try to impress somebody in a way, you know, you weren't raised to, you know, do stuff. If that person is that hard to get with that you got to impress, it ain't worth it. Don't stress yourself out trying to get one female, and, you know, there's plenty of them out there, and you only 13 or 14. So don't try to
don't try to stretch yourself out over a girl that you know, you got a whole life ahead of you, and you got plenty of females to get at.
And yeah, that's right. Two weeks later, you won't even like her. You know what I mean? So, you know, I like that. And you know what? You all, and it's interesting because that 7-11 rule, which is what, everybody?
7 seconds, 11 impressions.
Why don't y'all all say it together? 1, 2, 3.
7 seconds, 11 impressions.
7 seconds, 11 impressions. That thing works not only in the career world, but in your personal life as well. You start formulating opinions about people based on, you know, what you see, so on and so forth. So I like that, Davin. Be yourself, because you may show somebody something that you really, you know, that's not who you are. And if you get somebody that way, you got to keep doing that to keep them. You know, I was told that was a great piece of advice I was given. You know, whatever you do, Smith, to get that young lady, you got to do it to keep them. And, you know, if you're spending money all the time and you know you don't got no money, broke it in the Ten Commandments, you know what I mean? And you up here trying to take them to the show, trying to take them to the show every week, and you know you ain't got no money. So, you know what I mean? So, you know, slow down. So, yeah, that's what's up. I had a student at my school. This little boy used to come into my office all the time with cash in his hand, and he'd try to count that same $1 bill over and over and over. I said, man, come on, man. Smith, I'm the man. I said, dude, you broke. Get out of here, man. And I said, if you got to keep flashing at $3, then, you know, you let me know even more you broke. But you know, always trying to put that facade on. So I think that's important. I don't know about you all, but I've enjoyed the show today. I think this has been a great show. And what we're going to do is we're gonna do shows like this more often, where we got the parents and we got the educators or the community leaders, and then we got our youth. So I think this is great. So, Miss Jones, dynamite. Thank you. Ty, you, why don't you all thank Miss Jones for coming on the show?
Thank you. You're quite welcome,
Miss Jones. And then to Miss Martinique Dickey, that's my home team. What's up, Martinique? Y'all give it up for Martinique. Yeah, Martinique, that's my girl, boy. I know Martinique always gonna be there for Smith. She gonna be on the train, boy, because it's me and her ride, boy.
That's right.
And then,
I believe in what you're doing.
Amen.
I do. Amen.
Yeah, and to our four leaders who are rising student ambassadors, teen trained student ambassadors, thank you all for calling in today and being on the show. Davin, Nathaniel, give it up for Davin, everybody.
We're going to dominate.
That's right, you're going to dominate. Give it up for Davin, y'all. Give it up for Davin. Yeah. All right, let's give it up to Chris. All right, now, Chris, the man, boy, a.k.a. Look Good. You know what I'm saying? Look Good, Chris. There it is. And then we're giving it up to Kamora. I know, that's right. And then we got, last but not least, Jasmine. That's my girl, Jasmine. That's right. Yeah, Jasmine. She'll probably call me as soon as we finish with the show. That's okay, Jasmine. So, to all of our listening audience, thank you for tuning in today to 3T Radio. You know, I don't want to use Don Cornelius' words, but, you know, peace, love, and soul, you know what I mean? But anyway, as we're bringing this train in, getting ready to dock in at the station, we want to thank you for tuning in, spread the word. We want to begin to just dominate the airwaves and put this message of hope and inspiration out there that our young people can and will make a good difference. Until next week, we're going to see you again on 3T Radio. Everybody, let's give it up on 3T Train. 1, 2, 3. Oh, that was kind of weak. That was kind of weak, but that's all right. I'll take it. Okay, y'all. Thanks for tuning in.
Peace.
ain't getting better, they getting worse. Feel the thirst, not just the verse, but hope the truth gets dispersed. Spent thousands of dollars on a purse, told me to quickly get outdated. If they feeling jaded about